Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Welcome, ya Mustafa.
کیوں مفسر تجھے بناتا پھر گر نہ کرتا پسند رب تیرا تو ہے فخر عجم بہر صورت مانے لوہا نہ کیوں عرب تیرا
سارا عالم کرے ادب تیرا شیخ الاسلام ہے لقب تیرا ساری دنیا میں جگمگاتا ہے اسم خورشید اسم اب تیرا علم فقہ ہو.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum and welcome to another beautiful edition, a Monday morning, Monday afternoon, to a start of another fresh week, today being the 26th of August 2024, corresponding to the 21st of Safar 1446. And this is the midday show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isop, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1:45, 1:50 p.m. I hope that everyone is in the best of health and we are all rejuvenized, alhamdulillah, for another beautiful, beautiful week. Today, inshallah, we're going to be discussing something that's very rampant in our society and our community. You know, whenever you have a dream, a desire that you want to fulfill in your life, obviously it has to be jais, it has to be permissible in accordance to the Sharia, right? You want to do something, you've got this yearn, this zeal that you want to do something in life. You bring your proposal or you bring your idea forward to somebody or to someone who you trust. You know, last week we did on trust. And you go towards them and you tell them, you pitch them the idea and say, listen, I want to better my life, right? And this is what I want to do. This is the idea, this is the proposal that I have. They listen to you, you give them like maybe 10, 15 minutes explaining to them the whole nitty-gritty and the details and how this is going to happen, the logistics and all these other things. You know, in the back of your head, you got everything covered. There's no room for falter. And then they come with that one line which can shatter your dream and your hopes, your desire, and everything that you got in your head. That one line that everybody, including myself, I hate. What will people say? Firstly, why worry what people are going to say? Why must you let the next person manage your life, control your life, and tell you what to do? Obviously, if they're giving you from an Islamic perspective and telling you that, listen, this is not the correct way. According to Sharia, according to Islam, Quran, Sunnah, Hadith, you can't do this. Then obviously you can't do it. It's like common sense. You cannot do it if it's against the rules of the Quran, the Sunnah and the Sharia, right? But if you got your background check, you did it correctly, it's accordance to the Sharia, everything is above board, then this one person will come and he'll tell you, what will people say? You know, it is so irritating. Because why can't you, for one, be supportive for this person? If it's right, if it's jais, why not just tell him, hey, you know what? This is a good idea that you have. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you and open the road for you. That's all. You don't have to come with your negativity and tell the person, hey, what will people say? You know, it is so irritating. Oh, it just makes my blood boil, because, you know, it is so annoying when you try to do something for somebody and you help them and give them support, and then they come with that line, what will people say? So let's read a few facts of how can we overcome this what will people say syndrome. And if you hear this here, then obviously you have a heart, you're human. You're bound to get these few rotten apples. But this is my personal opinion, and it's not the opinion of the radio station. This is my personal opinion, right? Remember, people really don't think or care that much about you. We as humans are too busy obsessing about our own lives and spend. This is the ways that you can overcome this syndrome of what will people say. We as humans are too busy obsessing about our own lives and spend very little time thinking about others, which one should do. You should worry. Now, you know that saying, you must worry about your own back garden before you worry about the next. So they say we as humans are too busy obsessing about our own lives and spend very little time about thinking about others. Even when we do think about others, it is in the context of how that will impact me. In inverted commas, me. Otherwise, those thoughts are momentary. If you are not convinced, consider this. How much time of your day do you spend thinking about others? People who are not even close to you and your choices about their lives. You've got so much that you have to worry about on your own, but you've got time to think about other people's lives. Particularly what may be deemed as stupid or poor choices. 5 hours, maybe two, half an hour. So I'm guessing it's more like in the last figure. See what I mean? Yeah, you are trying to conform to what you assume is others' expectation of you, just so that for those few flashing moments, people may approve of you. Sorry about that. No, I just got a little bit of a sinus issue today. So where were we? And here you are trying to conform to what you assume is others' expectations of you. Just so that those few flashing moments, people may approve of you in your imagination. So when you conform to imaginary rules so as to not attract the disapproval, the only thing that you manage to do is live a life of insignificance and make yourself invisible. On the other hand, living by your own priorities and needs makes life more meaningful and engaging. So basically what they are saying here, right? This is the first point. You don't have to live according to or to make another person happy. If you are doing something, right? Don't do things to make that person happy. So for example, just give an example, right? If a person has a toasted cheese sandwich, you're allergic to toasted cheese, or you're allergic to cheese. Don't go now make a toasted cheese sandwich just so you can make that person like you, because, hey, you know what, that person is eating, he likes a toasted cheese sandwich, so now you must go and eat a toasted cheese sandwich. If you tell him that I don't like a toasted cheese sandwich, you're going to think, hey, you know what, this person here doesn't approve of me, doesn't like me. What you worried about what people think about you? They're not paying your bill. They're not paying your rent. They're not putting food on your table. They're not covering your head. So why worry what people say? That's the last thing you must worry about, because that is the most, and you can see how irritated it is and how irritating I get when I hear about this thing, about what people say. It is annoying. It is annoying beyond, you know, annoying. Second part, Maulana Zaid, are you with us today, Maulana? 5 minutes. You sure? It's already 4:15. You sure, huh? Okay, Maulana said he'll give us 5 minutes. So at 12:20, Maulana is going to join us, inshallah. Number two, as to how to overcome, what will people think, what will people say? Stop judging and gossiping, making panchat. Not a famous word, panchat. Stop gossiping and making panchat. Right. We have this tendency to second guess what other people's reactions are based on our own. Hence, if you are in the habit of making judgmental, oh Allah, that's another one I hate. To judge and being judged, I cannot stand. We're making judgmental, insensitive comments about others and are easily given into revealing in the juicy pieces of panchat gossip. It's only natural for you to worry about what others judging you the same way. So when you make it a practice to think compassionately about others, your worry about others' judgment also diminishes. Simple terms, don't judge, because the only person who has the full right to judge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else got the right to judge you, and you don't have the right to judge anybody else. No one died and made you king and say you can judge this person. And if you let others judge, that's when you let others start controlling your life, and that's when you start worrying about what people will say. Obviously, everything has to be in accordance and in the rules of Sharia, Quran, Sunnah, Ahadith. That's the one thing that we must always remember. We can't be going and doing things that is totally against the Quran, totally against Sharia, totally against Ahadith. No, then obviously you are in the wrong. When a person gives you nasihat and trying to make you understand and give you advice, then you must take it. But if it's within the accord of Sharia, and if you're doing it, and if the person tells you something, then you got a problem, because you are letting them, you got your mindset already in this cocoon as to what will people think. If I do this here, if I buy a blue car, what will people think? People will say, hey, you should have bought a white car. If you buy a house, the people will say, why don't you stay in a flat? You keep worrying about what people tell you. Don't stop it. Stop it. The third one is be accepting and kind to yourself. Self-love. Self-love is very important. You have to allow yourself to, if you went through any traumatic things in your life, you need to first heal yourself. And you need to allow it, or you need to heal yourself, and you have to love yourself and be kind. You cannot live your life according to other people. The people who fear judgment, and most are the ones who judge themselves very harshly. You must never, when they say you judge yourself, yeah, you must never put yourself down. And you must never, because the body doesn't understand. So when you start saying things like, you know what, I'm not good enough. I'll never be successful in life. I can't do this. I can't do that. The body doesn't understand, and the body will agree to what you are saying. They say, yeah, this fellow here, he's a bud. He's a nothing. You know, he's useless at life. You know, hopeless, useless, good for nothing. You keep on saying that, you will start becoming that dead. Then you will start thinking, hey, you know what, maybe I'm not good in life. Maybe I'm useless. I can't do anything. Must never, ever talk bad about yourself. Because once you start doing that, then you allow the people and you allow them to dictate your life, what people will say. Now you want to do something, you want to go do, you want to, just for example, you want to take, go on a family holiday, go to Durban, Cape Town, overseas, then you are thinking twice, no? If I book that ticket, what people will say? The fellow got a lot of money. He's going overseas, going to Durban, going to Joburg. Can't afford to do this. But now you are allowing them to do that. You must never, never. You want to do it, you want to book that ticket, book the ticket. Go. You want to go on a holiday with your family? Go. You want to go to the safari, go see Allah's nature? Go. Don't worry about it. If you got the means and if you want to do it, you know that you're going to cover it up at the end of the day. Go. You do yourself. Right? When you are disapproving of yourself, then it's only natural for your mind to look for approval of others. So when you, in your mind now, you are like what I just said, in your mind, if you're already thinking negatively, then you're allowing people, then you're going to go to the next person, you're going to ask him, you know, you think it's a good idea if I go to Darwin on a weekend? You think it's okay if I go? Now you're going to keep on asking because you're looking for validation. You want people's validation. You want people to say, yeah, you know what? You're doing good. It's a good thing. If a person tells you no, but you in the back of your mind, you want to do it. But if somebody tells you no, then you're going to say, hey, I'm not going to listen to this fellow. So why are you asking in the first place? Why are you looking for validation? Then it says here, when you are disapproving of yourself, then it's only natural for you to look for approval for others. That's the only way to survive. Here in the article it says, I recently heard a well-known person admitting during an interview that they used to constantly worry about her, the acne, and imagine when the people spoke to her and they only saw her acne. Then they went on to do their first stunt while the acne still existed, and she was amazed as to how no one seemed to care about the acne. So when we judge ourselves harshly, we're constantly looking for cues for others' disapproval. And it, even when there is none, so spare yourself the torture and be kind and accepting to yourself. Exactly what I just said. You must love yourself first. Molana, are you with us, Molana? Okay, Molana Zaid is with us. Molana? Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Molana?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Haji Suleiman?
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Molana, I got a very nice topic today, Molana. For a Monday afternoon.
A hard hitting one.
It's a right one. To start the day off, the afternoon, it's a right one. What will people say? What will people say? Molana, do you have any examples, or do you know of anybody that's been through it, like, you know, they want to make a decision? I know it happens a lot in families. They want to do something, but you know, they bang, they skrk. They don't want to make the move. But that same move, Molana, will change their life. But why they worried, they don't want to do it? Hey, what this one is going to say? It's the worst thing, and it's the biggest stigma, Molana, anybody can go through. Once you got that mindset in your head, you want to do something, but you know, if I do this here, now you got the thing in the back of your head. If I want to do this here, you see the car, you got the money, you got everything. Obviously, we disapprove of finance, right? It's all these other finances, we disapprove. Now you got the money, you saved it all your life, right? You got maybe 200,000, 300,000 rand. You want to buy a car. Now this is your first car you buy, Molana. Now, you look at the car. Now you got that bag in the hand with your money, right? You're in the dealership. Now all the thoughts are coming through your head. Hey, what will people say? Where I got the money from? How I'm doing this? Where I pull the car out from? Why I never ask them? Why I never do this? Molana, from your experience, what can you say about it, Molana? We have you on this panel to give us from an Islamic perspective, Molana. What will people say?
So, there's a good way and a bad way to look at it. So, firstly, what you addressed was where you said people, they want to make this change. And often, You can't make that change. We know ourselves because we experienced it. When you come back from 4 months, you want to grow your beard, you want to, you know, do things according to Islam. But then comes the wedding in the family, and then people say, hey, why don't you just trim your beard a little bit? Why don't you wear a suit? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So that pressure, like you said, people are worried. What's going to happen? Like, so that is why, to combat this, it's simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's the narration of Abu Dawood, الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ A person will be on the deen of his friend, on his companion, on his friend. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ So each one should consider whom he makes his friend. So sometimes, like they say in English, you can choose friends, but family you can't choose. So this is where it all boils down to, that this difficulty comes in. And many times, if you have to label this in their terminology, it is called peer pressure. And sadly so, people tend to think, the elderly tend to think peer pressure is something that is just when you're growing up, it's a growing phase. But little to know that even at the age of 40, 50, 60, they are still affected by peer pressure. How is it such that you can all introspect? At your age, you're seeing a person, your colleague, or someone that you used to be friends with before, and you are now comparing your lifestyle to his lifestyle. And you are trying to see, is it balancing according to his lifestyle? Again, it boils down to, you're on the deen of your friend. So if he was on deen, now you're doing that comparative study or investigation to say, how come he's more pious? But Shaitan, remember, he's not here to make you better. Shaitan's whole plan is to make you the worst that you can be. Because even in peer pressure, you know, Haji Suleiman, I'm sure it happened at least once, few times in your life. You did something with your friends and then you get caught and nobody wants to admit to it. And
it happens. Like when you're younger, when you're growing up, you know, they say it's an experimental phase that you go through. Yeah. You know, you do things and obviously when you realize the wrong that you did, you make tawbah, you make astaghfar. Mm.
In the instance where when the person gets caught or the evidence comes out that someone did this.
Mm. Now, like for example, when you play cricket and you hit the window, the neighbor's window.
Yeah.
The neighbor comes out and the neighbor is screaming and he says, "Who cracked my window?" Mm. All five of you are standing over there. Nobody wants to see you.
In school,
yeah.
When you're primary school, so in guidance, this one friend of mine, he threw a ruler and he was playing with it and so it flew in the teacher's direction. The teacher's name was, I remember his name, but some people say don't say the names, but anyway. So he threw it in the teacher's direction.
Yeah.
But this teacher, I don't know how he used to operate. So now he's asking the class, who did this here? And nobody wants to own up. So he pulled out some, like what you can say, a gadget or something. And this thing is like, it's got a chain and it's got a pointer at the bottom. So it swings left to right. He took the register and he put it on each name. And he said, the one it swings the fastest, then I know it's this person. So he put it on each name. Nobody is willing to own up. And then on that person's name, it started to swing faster. And he said, yes, this is the person. And he had to admit eventually.
But was it that person?
It was that person.
SubhanAllah.
No, but you check.
Ah.
These things, he probably wanted to scare us or something. So he probably saw it.
Yeah.
But he wanted to test us now who's truthful and all of this. Unless he's got some friends of the Shayateen who assisted him in that. But What I'm saying is nobody wants to own up when you do something wrong because the consequences is so grave or it's sour. And this year, Shaitan, at the end of the day, how we tie this in is with what you were saying, Brother Suleiman, is that we don't want to change, or sometimes we want to change, but we're scared of what people are going to say of us. But why should you be scared if you are changing for the good? Yes, if you are changing for the worse, then people are reprimanding, your parents are telling you, stop this, don't do drugs, don't do this, then that's for the good. But when it's for the bad, and this is where we find bad doesn't mean drugs.
Mm.
Bad can mean a Mandi night where all Hindu customs come in and you say, I don't want to come. But then they say, but you breaking family ties. So that peer pressure, family pressure.
Mm.
So how do you respond to that? You say, the best way that I say nowadays is, COVID time, when Ramaphosa told you, no weddings, no functions, no this, you said, Sami'na wa ata'na. You worshipped Ramaphosa. Now when Allah tells you, stay away from these things, do not emulate the kuffar in their customs, you go and you do it, and then I say, I want to stay away, then they play that card against you, the guilt card. So you must say, I worship Allah. When Ramaphosa told us, we all stayed away. Why when Allah says, then we don't want to stay away? Then they don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
So why are you doing that? Is you doing this because for the pleasure of Allah. And had you had to go, it was never ever going to improve your family ties. Because there's no obedience in the disobedience of Allah. So it always boils down to that. And if your friends are telling you to do wrong, whether you are 50, Haji Suleiman, I don't know if you know, but the reports we're getting nowadays, it's so scary. Elderly people are engaging in dacha. And they say, we didn't smoke dacha in our lives. Then they just came and started, took a pull and now. But what, they say, no, we're not smoking the cheap dacha. We're smoking the expensive ones.
Or the word they use, the potent.
The potent, yeah. The potent and the, this is for the elite class.
Mm.
But at the end, it's still an intoxicant. And at the end, it's still haram. But what drove you to do that? It was your friends.
Peer pressure.
And to break away from that, what do you, we say, you have to replace those friends with the pious people. And replacing a friend, I get along better with elderly people because you can learn so much from them. You take lessons from them. And they are elderly, they've seen life, they're sharing with you. And you feel comfortable as well because they know, they don't have any other hidden agendas, this, that, the other. So always beware with which friends you are acquainted with. And then what was the second part we said we're going to speak about?
Last week.
No, now.
The influence of your friends and choosing your friends. And the peer pressure.
Yeah.
We were discussing. And yeah,
so here's the other side to it now. As you said, you want to make the change, but it's for something that is good. So that change then can only come about once you have good friends. Then you're going to compare with what they are doing. Another thing that really, it's causing a lot of depression amongst people, and it fits in here, is our circles. The circle that you have, if they are going in this direction where they are totally dunyawi inclined, where they are only worried about increasing their dunya, it's going to affect you as well. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, ittaqullah wa kunu ma'asadiqeen. Be with the truthful and adopt taqwa and be with the truthful. This is the easiest solution to all of this here. What I was saying was bringing depression is people on Facebook constantly. So what happens is you tend to see this friend, check how he's living. This one, check what he's doing. So how do you combat this? The best way is to leave it. Don't use it. WhatsApp is still more controlled. You still have a choice in who you want to speak to. Facebook, it just brings all those contacts. and we were on it, and you just see your heart is inclining towards that. Many times you are depressed because that person is accelerating towards evil, but you don't consider that evil for that moment, and you're feeling like, check how many likes he's got, check how many people are checking his status, check how many people are... Now that urge comes in, the jealousy kicks in, and that's when you spoke about as well, I heard you speaking about backbiting and bringing down other people because you can't see them growing. So that's for your purpose, there is totally different. Whereas when it comes to Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal paints the picture beautifully for you and tells you at the end, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, meaning at the end of that passage, that in this, it is in this that competitors compete for. How to eliminate backbiting? It's a disease. Some people can't stop it. For you, for your own safety, you can't keep on telling the person, you know what, stop backbiting, stop backbiting. So you break away slowly. And when they start backbiting, you change the subject. We used to have one friend, when used to, if you speak about one thing, he speaks on another thing, so that you start speaking upon what he wants to speak about. So one day, me and a friend of mine, we said, okay, let's do this here. Instead of, when he speaks on something else, we change the topic totally to something else. And like this, so once we did it, and he just was quiet for words, he didn't know what to say after that. Because now he's speaking about, for example, the sky, and we are speaking about laptops. Or then he starts speaking about cars, then we speak about... So you got to learn the art of changing subjects without even making the person know that you actually did it. Because let's be honest, how many people actually have that courage to say that, you know what, we cannot tolerate this backbiting. And it's a sin for the listener as well, because you are tolerating that. It's a different story, a warning of a kidnapper, or you are warning about someone. That's not backbiting, that's for the protection. Similarly, in terms of deen, we spoke about this previously. So that's one way to change the subject. If you can't, make an excuse to leave once you see the person is going down that road. And most importantly is our children, when they come home now and they are speaking and telling you, yeah, you know, this girl did this to me, this, you tell them straight that please do not backbite. This one is ugly. This one did bad. This one, you teach them from small. So you create that change in our lives so that they also grow up knowing that this is bad. So these are just few words. I don't know what else you want to discuss, Haji Suleiman.
No, Maulana, that is very rampant in our community. And if we can change this concept and this ideology of what will people say, Maulana, you know how many people can actually succeed in their life not worrying about what people are going to think about them if they have to do something. You know, obviously, everything has to be in accordance to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sharia, right?
Yeah.
But if you do something that is jais, that everything is above board, and without this mindset and this conception about what people will say, well, I don't know how many people will be successful in this life. You know, you always say, you know, the person will say, hey, you know what, Maulana, make dua for me. They say, well, Allah Ta'ala grant you everything, fi dini wa dunya wa al-akhirah. Allah, what's it? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanata wa fi al-akhirati hasanata wa kina adab al-nar. But if we make the dua, they say, you have to make dua and you have to make da'wah. You have to make the effort. Now, if we don't make the effort, how are we going to, you know? So in that way, Maulana, if we take out that conception out of our minds completely, we will grow. We won't have this thing about backbiting, about worrying about the next person, the punch out, the gossip. Everything will fall away. Why? Because of that one seed of what will people say. How many other things will fall away?
And this year, I'm just thinking now as you're speaking that Abu Talib, that on his deathbed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he's speaking to him, trying to convince him, But what answer he gave? He said, what will the people say about me that I've left the religion of our forefathers? So he was worried. And that worry eventually led him to total loss.
And even the father of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salam told his father, these idols, these carvings that you're making, they cannot speak, they cannot help you. If they get harmed, how will they help themselves? So the father said, do you want to forfeit the religion of your forefathers? What will the people say? Look at here, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the people had this conception. Shaitan was playing on their head from then and right up till now.
That is why peer pressure, it's something that doesn't just exist in youth. It exists as you're older. How many old people we know, but still you tell them, you're going to almost, that you got the bucket list.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you see what's on that bucket list, it's nothing about going 4 months. But mashallah, I met one uncle from Calvin. I won't take his name, but it's a for a good thing anyways. But he was going for 4 months and he's close with my father. So I told him, why didn't you go speak to my father also, encouraging and go? So he said, no, I always wanted to go. And he wasn't always a Jamaati. He just decided that, I need to go and see what's it about and let me go learn something. So let that bucket list be for Akhirah. And then when you kick the bucket, as they say in English, you've really left so much of water and pure water actions for others to drink from, for others to practice upon. And that's exactly what it is. Many of these people, this is the cure for backbiting. When a person backbites and tells you something, then always try to think that what if Allah must decide that condition to come upon me? And you yourself see how many times when you did backbite about someone, that very same condition comes upon you later in your life. And then it comes to haunt you and you're starting to think, but how? It was from there. So Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq, understanding, and enable us to bring upon all these beautiful qualities and shun the evil ones, as we spoke about today, inshallah.
Ameen. Mawlana, before we do, you leave us, Mawlana, as Mufti Sahib will always mention, that I think it's also a good practice when we speak about an evil or something that is happening in our lives, in our communities, we must always make it a habit of saying, Allah forbid, or Allahumma fazna min, or Allahumma fazna, Allah protect us. So that same calamity or whatever problem does not befall us. But also the verse comes to mind, وَمَنْ أَصَابَتْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamity befalls you, it's because of your own wrongdoing. But obviously you have to take precaution. And you have to say, Ya Allah, Allah forbid, or Allahumma fazna min, Allah protect us, Allah ta'ala guide us.
Yeah, it shows also your sincereness. That you really wish well, because that's what ideally, imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was sent as a mercy to the entire universe. When he sees one person that is living without Iman, how much of pain wouldn't it cause Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So that same worry we must have for every person out there. And this year, imagine, I'll just share this with you. Mulana A.S. Desai Damat Barakatuh of Majlis, he's advising Mufti A.K. Sahib. And I just listened. So he said, if you want a peaceful life, do not ever, he just gave like random advice, general advice. Do not hold any animosity for any person. And I'm sitting there and thinking, but like, my AS writes about this one. How does it? So he said, no, this year is for the pleasure of Allah. By Allah, if this person is to change his life, then all of that is removed. If he has to just, because that hatred is not for any personal issue. The hatred is for the pleasure of Allah. So once that is removed, then there's nothing there.
My father, Rahmatullah, they always used to say, do not hate the person, rather hate the action. Hate the action or hate the sin. Mm. Because the person never do you anything wrong.
Mm.
But rather the sin that he committed, that you must hate. If he did something wrong, you mustn't hate him, because there's so many other good deeds that that person did in his life. Now you're looking at that one sin where he went astray, and he's trying to come back on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And now you're not giving him the chance and the opportunity to make amends. Rather, you're looking and harboring on that one sin, that one action he did, but not looking at the other 70, 80, 90, I don't know how many other good actions that he did whilst you know him in that period. You're not thinking, hey, you know what? He did this here. He built a borehole. He donated towards a masjid. He helped a musalli or somebody. He did behind someone's back. He helped a family, for example. You know, things like that. There, you won't think of what he did, but rather you look at that one action which caused that harm. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to forgive. Allah is rahmatullah. Allah is all merciful, all forgiving. So we, as people, as insan, should not take Allah's work in our hand and be the judges and say, you know what, you are like this here. You know what I'm saying?
100%. So that's exactly what we should be doing, and constantly have that worry and concern that if I die tomorrow, and this is what one of the pious people said, that if this dog, they asked him, who's better, this dog or you? He said, if I die without Iman, the dog is better. If I die with Iman, then I'm better. But there is that possibility of the dog being better than me. So what about any other person? That's why at the end, you're always going to make dua that, like you said, that we should ask for protection against what we spoke about, as well as that Allah Azawajal forbid that those actions come into my life. And that shows your sincereness as well. Another thing, when you were speaking initially, I was thinking about it. Sometimes you're in the masjid and you want to read the extra two rakats of salah, or you want to do something good, but you shy to do that good because, like you said, someone's watching you. And you, this Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said that someone came to him and they said, must we walk with a tasbih or not? Because tasbih will mean that maybe people will call me pious now. I'm walking with a big tasbih there on the streets and making dhikrullah and everything. So he said that it is dependent on your thoughts, and exactly your thoughts is your intention. Nobody can come tap into your thoughts and say, hey, so that is with Allah. You walk, he said, you walk with your tasbih on the road and you make the dhikrullah, because by you taking the name of Allah, you are delaying qiyamah as such. Because a person, then he gives the dalil, he says that qiyamah won't come until, as long as there's a person who is saying Allah, Allah. So it's the same with salah. You have that, you read, you continue doing it, and you make sure that you do it for the pleasure of Allah, and you don't worry about what people say. You want to start Hif Suleiman? Don't worry about anyone. Nobody's going to tell you. Someone's going to tell you, hey, Suleiman, you're old. You don't worry about them. Go ahead.
And you're never too late to learn, because I know of so many people, and Mufti Saab gave so many examples, that a person at the age of 70, 75, he completed the hifz. If I could be wrong, I stand to be corrected on this one. But there's many stories where a person completed his hifz at the age of 75 or 76. And the age of 80, he passed away. Or sometimes even if he become a hufaz today, and next week the man passes away.
Yeah.
It happened, many stories like that.
And many females, they want to go in parda, but they're scared what people are going to say. And how am I going to manage it? But as you said, don't worry about the people. Your good, worry about your akhirah, because at the end, you're going to be alone in that cover. No one's going to come and say, hey, why you did that? Then all that is, and believe it or not, when you start it, others slowly will follow you. But you have to start.
It's like a ripple effect. If you start doing something good, The people might not say initially, hey, you know what? Now he's become like one buzuruk now. No, no, before, now that's a mentality of especially our community, Molana. Especially, it's a hard fact. It's a hard fact, Molana. Our community is like that there. You see a person last week, Allah forbid, you see them in a mall, three quarters, no topi, short sleeve t-shirt, you know, all those things. Next week, you see him with a kurta, you know, with a tasbi, everything. And you see them on a weekend, then he says, you know, he got wahi. Something happened to him.
Yeah.
Now he's turning his life around. Now you want to become a buzruk.
Hmm.
See, then that's it. That people will start talking. But not only, they don't realize that Allah Ta'ala gives hidayah to whom he pleases.
Hmm.
He must have gotten hidayah, not because something happened in his life. But Allah Ta'ala put in his heart, and it's a change of heart that Allah Ta'ala put in his heart. Yes, maybe he started wearing kurta, started moving with a tasbih and whatnot. But it's because he wants to do his own reformation. He realized that what I did in the past was wrong.
Mm.
And Allah will forgive me. And you know, there's a famous dua that when you make that dua, Allah Ta'ala forgives your sin as much as the foam of the ocean. Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. We did it in Ramadan.
Mm.
People say, yeah, you only read the dua in Ramadan because you get it in, your duas only get accepted that time in Ramadan. It's a Ramadan dua, in inverted commas, Ramadan dua. But Mawlana, I read the dua after every first salah.
Alhamdulillah.
Not because only it's Ramadan, but I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm a gunnegar. But I make the dua that Allah, ya Allah, you forgive me for all my major and minor sins. Whatever I did in the darkness of the night and the brightness of the day, ya Allah, you forgive me for my sins.
Yeah, inshallah. Allah give us hidayah.
Give us hidayah, give us a tawfiq. That's all we ask for.
Mm. Like when I decided Allah's, my father's barakah in his, he played an instrumental role in it to convince me to start alim. But when I said, okay, let's going ahead with it, then people said, hey, he's gone mad. They took me to the Amils. They brought me here to Lens, to the Amil. And when we came, I was naughty, so I said, okay, I'll go and I'll wreck his brains.
Mm.
So they brought me here. The Amil is questioning me. I say, but you know everything. Don't tell me. Don't ask me all these questions. Because what they do is, they ask you 10 questions, and they form a solution around what you told them.
Mm.
Yeah, it's because of this. So I said, I'm not going to speak much. You tell me everything. He got frustrated. Eventually, he said, imagine, he said, don't become an alim.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you, what's wrong? Just go for fishing on weekends. He said, have a cigarette, smoke, enjoy your life. What do you want to do all of this for? I said, ya Allah, this man probably was paid to say these words, and now I came to him. And as we're walking in, he's showing me, we saw Ali Davidson.
Yeah.
Shukar, I forgot which house and everything, because otherwise I'll go back there. He showed me which house. He said, you see that Ali Davidson? See, I'm a Qari Saab. I'm a Mulana. I enjoy my life. So, nothing wrong. So I said, Allah's tawf. That's exactly what happens. But all my life, you're doing this wrong, that wrong. They said, there's nothing wrong with him. But do something good. Yeah, something happened in his life.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But hey, Mawlana, it's gone 50, it's about 7 minutes left before 1 o'clock. And like I tell the listeners that we, due to time constraint, and we also play out our Dhuhr Azan.
Hmm.
So inshallah, Mawlana, we say Jazakallah Khairan to you for giving us the time. You know, it was a very, is a very powerful, power-packed topic. You know, something that happens in a community, Mawlana, I think we must tackle it. Seriously, because people are too scared to talk about things like this. They don't have they don't have the himmat and the guts to speak about it, you know? But inshallah, Mawlana, Jazakallah Khairan once again for your time.
Jazakumullah Khairan. You have to ask for forgiveness. All the ladies are going to send messages to say they want the recipes.
Yeah, no, last week and this week, Allahu Akbar. No, but inshallah, we'll try and... because once you're in that motion, Mawlana, that Josh, you know, you could forget about everything. And I think this is the right platform to speak about topics, you know, like Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. You know, we'll use it over here.
And the listeners must send in what they...
What topics that they want to speak about, you know, yeah. Maybe because from my side, I may say something wrong. That's why from an alim perspective, you can correct me and say, you know, Brother Suleiman, you know, this is what you said wrong. You know, it should have been said like this here or from this perspective. You know, then we all learn.
Or you can correct us, same. One of the listeners can. Anyone?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. But Mawlana, jazakallah khairan for your time.
Salam.
We'll meet tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And that was our Mawlana Zahid Khan, and we say jazakallah khairan to the listeners, and please make me maaf. I know last week, Thursday, and today, we never had a chance to do our recipe segment. But inshallah, tomorrow, we will do it, inshallah. From the team of myself, of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isop, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 12:45, 12:50, bi amanillah, ma'a salama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Please.